W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. It's a new week and you're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. It's Supernatural News and Parashare Monday. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Supernatural News correspondent and birthday boy, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
We got a good week kicking off. Your birthday, what, at 47, 48, 49? What are you this year, 47?
I'm 29, Dave. I've always been 27.
Come on. Yeah, 47-ish. Yeah, and congratulations on that. That's a milestone. You're closing in on the big 50.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're zooming up to it, and not quite as quickly as I am, but you're getting there. So happy birthday. Happy birthday to the love of my life as well, my fiance. Big birthday today.
Who's also 47?
No. Considerably less. Oh. Considerably. She looks like she's about 27, but she's celebrating her birthday today. We had a great weekend out at the Michigan Paracon and had a fantastic time out there with the guys from Creaking Door and UPPRS hosting the event. Great chance to see some fantastic speakers. And, I got a great chance to do a panel discussion with Christopher Lutz from Roger Perrin and Andrea Perrin from The Real Conjuring Story. And just had a great chance to speak with Roger. We've talked to Andrea and to Chris before, of course, but this was an interesting aspect to get to hear from one of the adults of these cases and two of the kids that were involved. And Roger was just charming. Great guy, fantastic story to tell. And it was really neat to kind of hear it. And there's a lot of stuff people just don't know about this case. And we got some of the creepiest insights on different aspects of the story. So I love when we get a chance to go out and do these type of events and get to go out and mix and mingle. And there was birthday cake for Timmy and big parties and lots of singing and dancing and drinking and having fun. So again, our big thanks to everybody involved. You can see Tim and I again together live when we will be representing out at the Chicago Paracon. That's the first weekend in October. You can find information and sign up and join us out there by going to darknessevents.com. Darknessevents.com. You'll find all the information there on all of the different events that we attend during the year. And I think that's one of our last ones this year. I'll also be out, of course, London in just a few more weeks. I go back again, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And had a great time in London, man. We had such a neat time getting a chance to see all over, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the Parashare section of today's show. But I just wanted to start off with that. We're going to launch into some news here from around the world. But Tim, there was some breaking news, some sad news coming out of the entertainment industry this last weekend. I want to make sure that we cover this. Director Tobe Hooper from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Poltergeist passed away this Saturday at the age of 74. They said it was of natural causes. So we've lost another one of the legends in the horror field. This is the year of brutality in the horror field deal.
Yeah, it is.
We lost Romero. Now we've lost Tobe Hooper. And he, you know, he was behind quite a bit of different programs. You know, he did the classic 74 Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which became one of, I think they're calling it the most influential horror films of all time because of its realistic approach mm-hmm. and that kind of deranged vision that he created. They shot that movie, believe it or not, for less than $300,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was banned in several countries because of the violence, and it was one of the most profitable independent films of the 1970s in the U.S., and the character of Leatherface was loosely, of course, based on the serial killer Ed Gein, and then Hooper was involved and directed the 1986 sequel, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and that took more of kind of a comedic approach. As a matter of fact, if you remember, the movie poster is very Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. Looking, mm-hmm. Which was fun, but a weird movie. And then, of course, 1982, he brought us Poltergeist, which was written and produced by Spielberg and became one of the classics in the horror genre. And I didn't realize this, that he was behind he directed two movies for Canon Films. It was Life Force and Invaders from Mars, the remake of the 1953 movie. And then he was behind the 1979 CBS miniseries, which creeps me out to this day, of Stephen King's Salem's Lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's considered by many to be kind of the high water benchmark in TV miniseries programming. That creeped me out. That was a made for TV movie. And I knew adults and kids alike that were terrified and scarred by that movie. It was so well done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So his last film, from 2013, Jin, was set in the United Arab Emirates and produced by Image Nation. And he also did Toolbox Murders, Mortuary, and two episodes of Masters of Horror. And did you know he did the work on Billy Idol's Dancing with Myself video?
Well, that was a horrifying video. So, yeah, I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that. He survived by two sons, but the horror genre has lost another one with the death of Tobe Hooper. So we want to make sure that we mentioned and made that aware, their viewers aware of that. And talking about news as well, Tim, I just want people to know that right now Ancient Aliens is back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can watch full episodes of Ancient Aliens at history.com. or using the History app, and you can catch up on episodes you missed or rewatch your favorite episodes. And Ancient Aliens, they explore the controversial theories, and the extraterrestrials have been visiting Earth for millions of years, from the age of the dinosaurs to ancient Egypt. And they even go as far as talking about something like the early cave drawings to continued mass sightings that are taking part right here in the United States, even up to that eclipse that took place last week. There were people saying that UFOs were being seen around that. So if you're interested, check it out, Ancient Aliens. And if you get the History app, which I've got, and I love taking it with me, I've been catching up on that American Ripper series.
Yeah.
Have you been watching that?
Yes, I have, every episode. Yep.
Fascinating. Jeff Mudgett and Amaryllis Fox will be my guests on September 16th on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to talk about some of the controversial points of the series, talk about some of the findings, because there were things that even after all these years of investigating Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes and the possible ties, there were still bits of information that were blowing Jeff away, Jeff Mudgett, the great-great-grandson. So we're going to talk with Amaryllis Fox, the investigator, and Jeff Mudgett on Coast to Coast AM. But you can watch the History Channel app and take that with you, so you can watch all of these shows. And that's how I've been keeping up with American Ripper. And tomorrow, I think, is the season finale for the series. So I can't wait to see that and see where they go with it. Where are we going to go in the world of supernatural news?
Well, Dave, I figured I'd start out light. You know, it's been a long weekend, yes. Good weekend. We've had a lot of activity, so we want to ease ourselves into supernatural news this week. Of course, we want to start with a story about a woman punching herself in the face after being possessed during a horror film. I figured just nice, easy, light.
Wait a minute. You just rolled right over that. A woman did what?
She punched herself in the face, Dave, after being possessed during a horror film. Yeah.
Was it the possession causing her to punch herself in the face? Well, is that what you're trying to tell me?
Let's find out. The scariest scene in possessed doll horror film Annabelle Creation drove a woman to repeatedly punch herself in the face I think it drove us to all to do that at one point during a fit of hysteria outside the theater. Reportedly, a video of the attack shows a 20-year-old film fan lying on the floor in Brazil as she screams and coughs uncontrollably. The clip, which has been shared almost 20,000 times, shows friends trying to calm the panic-stricken woman before she is taken to the hospital at about midnight on Friday, August 18th. Whether the footage is genuine or not has yet to be fully determined, as the horror genre has had a habit of creating clever marketing campaigns, including sending zombies into theaters, having ghosts appear at sporting events, and even taking over social network sites. Firemen were reportedly used to wheel the unidentified woman from the mall before an ambulance took her to a hospital in northeastern Brazil. In an audio message being shared with the video, another woman says she began acting strangely at the scariest moment of the film. The woman said it was at the moment when the devil appeared. I don't remember a moment where the devil appeared.
It happened when the devil appeared?
When the devil appeared, yeah.
It's getting creepy, man. Every time you start to bring it up, your audio is chopping in and out on me, Tim. So I don't know if it's the devil himself trying to stop this, but it's giving me some really creepy audio right now.
When the film ended, we went to pay the car park or the garage, and she started hitting herself with punches to her own head and then threw herself on the floor. Other people in the shopping center got together to try to control her, and I became really scared. A member of the Stafford, Brazil UOL website said, "We haven't managed to find out exactly what happened or what caused this behavior. What we know is that she was really very nervous and couldn't herself explain what had happened. Annabelle Creation is the latest in the Conjuring horror franchise about a demonic doll that goes on a murderous rampage. It has been released to mixed reviews."
Now, did you get a chance to see that movie during the screenings?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of it? Now, the first Annabelle movie I didn't care for. Most people didn't. I've heard Creation definitely is a better written and acted movie with a kind of more of a cohesive creep factor to it. But what did you think of it?
It was more cohesive. I'll give it that. It had more of a storyline, but it still wasn't that great.
Didn't do anything for you?
No, I don't see any moment during this movie where you would potentially become possessed.
Well, that's good at least, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I just don't. Let's see here. I'm trying to move on from my next story here. But guess what, Dave? This possessed story doesn't want to let me.
Uh-oh. See? No, see? It is the devil. Damn.
No, it's not.
The only way to curb this is begin punching yourself repeatedly in the face until you're able to get the computer to
work. I would punch myself in the face repeatedly, but it's a daily habit. So to me, it would just be Thursday, I guess.
All right. Where are we going to go next in the world, sir?
Well, there's a spooky video out there, Dave, that shows a glass mysteriously falling off a counter at a hippodrome. This may be actual haunted activity as opposed to punching your own self in the face. This takes place in Waco, Texas, and there have been rumors of the Waco Hippodrome being haunted. But how much of that could be true? The theater is located in downtown Waco and was built in 1913 and opened in 1914. The Baylor University Lariat spoke to an investigator with the McLennan County Paranormal Investigations, Mike Jacobs, in 2010. Jacobus confirmed after the investigation that there was paranormal activity at the theater, claiming it was haunted. Whether you believe it or not, there has been strange activity at the theater caught on camera. Jennifer Ponce is a bartender at the Hippodrome and recently saw something unique caught on security camera. A glass falls from the counter and onto the floor, seemingly with no reason. The champagne glass ended up on the floor broken, said Ponce. I came back stepping on the glass. And with that, well, what do you think, Dave? Do you think just a falling glass is activity of any sort to be reported?
Well, I mean, obviously it's Bell's Bar or some of the other places like that that they've recorded this where you see the glasses go flying off the shelves and counters. It can be pretty compelling. But, you know, again, I haven't seen this piece of video specifically to know if there's something really to it.
Okay. A creepy image has been caught also on a Clovis family surveillance camera. It seems to be the week of creepy images and stuff being caught on camera. Okay. A Clovis family dinner was interrupted Tuesday night by an unexpected guest, one they don't think of is of this world. As soon as I saw it, my hair stood up, said Brianna Hernandez. I've never seen anything like it before. The Hernandez family saw something they can't explain, captured by their home security camera in Clovis. My husband happened to look over right when the image popped up, Hernandez said. Hernandez claimed she didn't originally see the image. My husband did, and he was like, was that a person? And then there were then we were like, no, 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 that couldn't have been. And we ran over, she said. What they ran over, I have no idea. No, I'm kidding. They didn't run over anything. They saw an image during dinner Tuesday night. It looks like a person in otherworldly form. Their explanation, they claim it's a ghost. This one is definitely brighter, they said. You can see it 100%, and you can see the movement of either arms or legs going with the body as it goes by. They say their house has some history, that before moving in, Hernandez spoke to a man who was very familiar with the property. He said that several years ago, his uncle had a house on this corner lot, and his uncle had passed away. They claim the home stayed vacant before it was torn down to build the new duplexes. Hernandez says her husband was concerned about ghosts in a new house, and she would just brush it off. Now she's a firm believer and is going to watch her camera a little bit closer.
Well, that's creepy. The video on that is pretty compelling. That's a weird little piece of video. Have you watched that yet?
I have not. No, I haven't. I haven't actually checked it out. Although, you know what? I can just hit the little play button right here and I'll take a look. Let's see.
Yeah, let me know what you think of it. I mean, it definitely shows something bizarre. It doesn't seem to be just normal. That's for damn so.
Oh, I've got sound here, too. Would you like to hear the sound of it? I tell you what, I'll take a look at that later. It looks like it's a pretty long video. We move on. A Canadian ambassador thinks his Irish residence is haunted. The Canadian ambassador to Ireland, Kevin Vickers, has been reported as saying he heard the strange noises on more than one occasion at his Dublin residence. Ghosts? I never believed in ghosts until I arrived here, said Mr. Vickers on his Facebook account, where he has almost 5,000 friends. The incidents included the sound of a heavy chain falling on the ground as well as footsteps on the stairs. I was sitting watching TV when all of a sudden I heard a heavy chain fall on the floor in the dining room, he wrote. I immediately went there and there was nothing on the floor, said Mr. Vickers. The residence, which is called Glanmire, is located in Ranelagh, Dublin, and was temporarily home to Irish revolutionary Padraig Pearse. You can just send your emails to me at tim@darknessradio.com. I don't care. You know I don't care, people. A couple of weeks ago, laying in my bed, I heard heavy footsteps coming up the stairs, and I could hear labored breathing. I immediately went out to the hallway, and nothing was there, he wrote on Facebook. It was also reported that a staff member of the house was afraid to go upstairs in the property because of the alleged paranormal activity. Mr. Vickers suggested that it could be Pearse, who is haunting the property. I wonder if it is he. Pearse, who walks the hallways of this residence, wrote Mr. Vickers. A Canadian news outlet that reported the haunting said the ambassador declined an interview request, therefore it was unable to ascertain when the noises started occurring. Mr. Vickers also stated that if there was any doubting of his observations, then people could come for themselves to hear the noises firsthand. If anyone doubts the validity of this story, you are welcome to come and stay a night or two here. Just now, I heard an unusual bang downstairs, he wrote. The Irish Examiner asked the embassy for clarity on the report. A spokeswoman said that no comment was available at this time. The ambassador, whose relatives are descendants of Cork immigrants, was appointed to Ireland in January of 2015 and made headlines in May of 2016. A former sergeant-at-arms and former Royal Canadian Mounted Police, he tackled a protester at a commemoration marking the deaths of British soldiers in the Easter Rising. And there you go. There is that story there. We go to a woman who has captured terrifying paranormal activity as she sleeps. A woman in the U.S. has captured the terrifying moment in her bedroom that became a hive of paranormal activity as she slept. The clip starts after the woman has fallen asleep, at which point the door slowly creaks open and a blur moves across the screen. Immediately afterwards, the bedsheets are violently yanked down and the woman wakes up and reaches for the light switch. A glowing orb can then be seen in flashes until the light finally comes on. It quickly goes off again and continues to flick on and off in bright surges. For some unknown reason, the woman gets back into bed, and of course, they always do. They always get back into bed, and the activity settles down, although we can still see that glowing orb. You can watch the full clip at an entertainment website called The Edge and get more on that story. What is the Black Monk of Pontefract? Well, and why is it considered the most violent haunting in Britain? And did I really pronounce it correctly? I'm sure you all will tell me by email. And why was it in the news this last week? And why won't I stop asking questions? Why won't this answer be revealed eventually? Why do I keep going on about it? Why? I don't know. But decades before the Enfield haunting crept into the nightmares of adults and children across the country, a family was terrorized by Europe's most violent haunting. Number 30 East Drive on the Checkerfields Estate in East Yorkshire became home to the infamous Black Monk of Pontefract. According to the article, Jean and Joe Pritchard moved into the unassuming house of their son Philip, who was 15 at the time, and their 12-year-old daughter Diane in 1966. But the same year, the family became disturbed by paranormal activity happening in their home. Water pools formed, lights turned off and on again, furniture overturned, pictures were slashed, objects levitated or disappeared, foul smells traveled throughout the house, and heavy breathing sounds were heard by the terrified family. The spooky goings-on were coupled by mysterious black-robed figures whose appearances became more and more frequent. Joe and Jean were the first in the family to come face-to-face with the spirit, a terrifying cloaked figure floating above their bed. The spirit almost appeared to be dressed in a monk's robes, and the description stuck. The entity would soon be witnessed by the entire Pritchard family, as well as a handful of paranormal investigators. The police, a local MP, and the vicar were all there to witness the extraordinary happenings that continued to plague the household. Despite numerous exorcisms and ghost hunters attending the property, nothing could make the ghosts leave. Paranormal investigator Tom Cunniff spent many years researching the strange case and discovered that the town's gallows had been situated directly across the street, pinpointing it further to the Black Monk, the Cluniac monk, who was hung for the rape and murder of a young girl. The murdered girl would have been a similar age to Diane, who was the focus of the spirit's attention. Cunniff believed that the entity haunting the family was the Black Monk himself. The haunting at 30 East Drive was the subject of a 2012 horror movie When the Lights Went Out and was investigated for the Halloween special of Most Haunted Live in 2015. The house remains open for bookings, though Ouija board and exorcisms are banned on the property. Why is it back in the news, you may ask? Well, the story has captured the attention of the press again, as an apparent photo of the monk was captured last year. A ghost hunter claimed to have snapped the clearest photo yet of the infamous phantom. The paranormal investigator says the picture shows the arm of a ghostly figure in a monk's robe clutching rosary beads. Earlier this year, Pete Bolton and Rob Hughes from Ghost Inspectors Paranormal Group snapped the eerie face in a black hooded robe staring out of a mirror at the bottom of the stairs. Mama Four Claire, a researcher for the East Drive Paranormal Group, claims her photo is the most definitive proof of the Black Monk and the fact that it still haunts the building. The 44-year-old from Pontefract said, "I've been in 30 East Drive a few times, and this particular night the equipment had been active. We had seen marbles being thrown and heard taps and bangs. The arm you see in the photo is not a solid form. It looks like a mist and is very strange, but you can see the sleeve of a robe hanging down. There's something which looks like rosary beads in his hand dangling down as well." She added, "I sent the photo to a friend in America without giving her any information about where it was taken or the history of the house, and without knowing anything, she said straight away, it looked like the arm of a monk." Very interesting. You can actually go to The Sun online and take a look at those photos if you wish as well. A new TLC paranormal series is out there. We switch to the world of entertainment called Evil Things, and it's tackling real-life haunted objects. Wouldn't be the first time this has happened, by the way, folks. If you're terrified of the Annabelle movies or still have nightmares about the Tiki Idol from the Brady Bunch, that's going back a ways, then I suggest you stay away from TLC's new show, Evil Things. The series will follow the network's popular ghost hunting show, Kindred Spirits, and recounts the stories of people who claim they survived frightening paranormal activity caused by a haunted object ranging from toys to jewelry and even furniture. The synopsis of the first episode goes like this, which will tell two terrifying tales. It says the premiere of Evil Things recounts two stories. First, Lindsay's backpacking trip through Europe takes a tragic turn after meeting a new friend, Alex, at a local bar. She wakes up days later in the hospital, only to learn that Alex has died and she's undergone an emergency cornea transplant. Ouch. Back in America and on the mend, Lindsay is haunted by horrific visions of murder and wondering if it's a side effect of her recovery or something darker happening with her new eye. Then in the second story, James discovers boxes of mysterious videotapes stashed behind a false wall in his attic. He becomes obsessed with the disturbing footage, but hides it from his wife, Tori. That is, until dangerous paranormal forces suddenly take hold of their home. Actress Nikki D'Amico used the photo above to tease her appearance in another episode. It's a photo of a teddy bear that looks like it's been slashed open in different places. For the episode entitled The Room, there is different episodes of Evil Things coming up on TLC. It premieres Friday, September 15th at 10, 9 Central, just after the season 2 premiere of Kindred Spirits at 9, 8 Central. So there you go. Yet another new paranormal show out there premiering, this time on TLC. A spiritual sonogram offers a local couple relief, but it may or may not be what you think you see in this article. We go to Chambersburg, Franklin County, Pennsylvania, where an expecting Franklin County couple saw an unexpected image in their baby's sonogram. They say the clear image of a man watching over their daughter is offering them a sense of relief. Mother Alicia Zeeks reacted to the image with confusion. "When they gave it to us, to me, it's Jesus, and it looks like Jesus." Father Zach Smith, also confused by what he was seeing, said, "This is distinct. I mean, there's another face looking at my daughter." The couple went in for an ultrasound ahead of their birth of the baby girl. Alicia says she could hardly believe it when she saw the sonogram. "I blinked a lot to kind of make sure I was really seeing it." The expecting parents say, they aren't very religious at all. They see a man dressed in a robe with a crown of thorns looking at their baby. Zach says the image made him emotional. "When I seen it, it almost brought tears to my eyes," he said. "I was speechless. I just couldn't believe it. I really didn't believe what I was seeing." That image is putting them at ease after Alicia experienced a number of complications with her first two children. Her daughter was born with preaxial polydactyl, which means she had two thumbs on one hand. Her second child gave quite the scare as well, making Zach a complete wreck in anticipation for their daughter. The second one nearly took her life, her son. "Just hearing that I could lose them both during the, you know," he went on to be quoted. He said, it wasn't just the complicated labor. Alicia's son also had birth defects. He said, "My son had cleft lip and palate. I'm like, is everything okay there?" The news they received next offered them a sense of relief as the ultrasound technician told Zach and Alicia baby Briella looked happy and healthy. Zach offered Alicia some encouragement. "Once she said everything is good and we looked at the picture, I was like, look, babe, we have nothing to worry about." The couple posted the photo to Facebook, asking people what they see in the sonogram. Regardless of the response, Zach says the image is a sign from above. "The angel or God or Jesus, however you want to propose it, I look at it as my blessing." Which is interesting when you look at the picture. You can see a face. You can see what could be construed as a white robe, but I don't know that I'm seeing Jesus. I don't know. You can look for it yourself. It's at the fox43.com website, and it's an article entitled "Spiritual Sonogram Offers Local Couple Relief." Check it out for yourself. You tell us what you think when it comes to that that particular story. Nova's Whippa is shocked by his son's creepy comment. Kids say the darndest things, don't they? But Michael Whippa Whipfley's son said the creepiest thing ever heard. The Nova Breakfast host revealed on air that his son Ted, who's 2 years old, said to him yesterday something that left him shocked to the core. Ted's a little bit different in that he's been seeing things, Whippa told co-hosts Ryan Fitzy Fitzgerald and Sarah McGilvray, I believe. I know it's not a morning show in my country that I watch, but, you know, I'm hoping to get it right. We had a nanny that used to help out a bit, and she used to say, I don't know if Ted's very spiritual, but he points at things that aren't often in the room, and it's a bit strange. Whippa went on to explain that Ted's got a bizarre fascination with Paris and often says that he wants to go there. Neither Whippa nor his wife have any idea why their son is obsessed with the French city, as they've never ever been there before. But yesterday, an absolute bombshell was dropped, Whippa went on to say, as the radio star woke up his son after a nap in the afternoon. Ted looked at him and said, I want to go to Paris. He's half asleep and he's rubbing his eyes, Whippa said on air. I said, yeah, mate, we can go to Paris, maybe one day. He then stares into my eyes and he says, I died in a tunnel there. Oh my God, co-host Sarah McGilvray said. Ted is Princess Diana or Dodi Fayed. Well, let's just jump to conclusion, shall we? Fitzy suggested that perhaps Ted had some of the heavy media coverage about Princess Diana's death in the lead up to the 20th anniversary of her passing, but Whippa shot that theory down right away. We don't watch that stuff, Whippa said. He doesn't know what death is. Sarah McGilvray then sensed the opportunity to create some more concern for the show and suggested, do we need to get an exorcist? But Whippa was not keen. He said, no, that's really heavy stuff. He said, no, 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 no. I love it when morning shows overreact. It's the greatest thing ever. And finally, today in Supernatural News, critics say Mugabe believes in witchcraft, not being truthfully sorcery is alien to ZANU politics. I know the headline may be confusing, but the story gets even better. Observers have scoffed at President Robert Mugabe for his brazen show of double standards by dismissing witchcraft in the poisoning case of Vice President Emerson. Oh boy, Dave did this to me on purpose. Mungangawe or Munganga Gagawa. Let me do this phonetically. It's Nagagwa. I've decided. Despite having accused his former deputy, Joyce Majuru, of the same. Again, this name is so hard, folks. You think you have it easy at home. You think it's easy to do this stuff. You try this at home. I'm just double dog daring you. Nangagwa had to be airlifted for treatment after suffering poison symptoms at a Gwanda Youth Interface rally recently, a development hyped to a dangerous play out of factional wars over who would succeed Mugabe at the burial of George Rutenheyer and Maud Muzenda at the National Heroes Acre on Saturday. Mugabe said, without specifically mentioning the culprits or victims of the witchcraft accusations within the ruling party were uncalled for, as the practice was primitive. This was in stark contradiction to Mugabe, who in 2015 accused Majuru of being a witch, claiming she had visited Nigerian doctors in a bid to topple him to get rid of other senior party members who would have been an obstacle to her dream of ascending to the presidency. Moreover, in the 1980s, Mugabe routinely dismissed Joshua Nkomo and ZAPU as a group of witches and cobras. Oh, well, yeah, of course. Again, in 1997, angered by Speaker Cyril Nadebele's, I believe, decision to tolerate Mavhare's demand that Mugabe must go, the 93-year-old later said, Kulu Bathakathi Pahakathi Kwethu, there are witches amongst us. I might have nailed that. I'm not sure. If you're in Nigeria and I've offended you, you can email me at tim@darknessradio.com. There you go. Political analyst Zachariah Mushawatu said Mugabe has always used character assassination, witchcraft accusations being a regular tool to get rid of threats, and his Saturday statement against the practice was untruthful for someone for someone entrusted with the leadership of a country. What matters is how it can be used, like many other tools in the succession matrix. Claims of witchcraft or denials that it exists are being used as tools to discredit and get the leaders of that in that party, he said. In other stumbling words, where factionalism and succession is concerned, those accused of witchcraft lose points as they are viewed as evil, while alleged victims gain sympathy. A week ago, a group of supposedly Lacoste faction loyalists walked out in protest at the burial of Minister of State for Provincial Affairs Shuvai Mahofa, accusing Nsong, Vice President Mufoko, an alleged Generation 40 backer, of presiding over the service when they, G40, murdered her. And that is the main deal of the story there. Mahofa, who collapsed to death, was poisoned in 2015 and had in the past openly said there were too many witches in Xanu province who wanted her dead. Also commenting on Sunday, Maxwell Sangweme dismissed Mugabe's remarks as those of an elderly man who is now vulnerable to inconsistency, which comes with aging. Mugabe is just an old man whose beliefs are opaque and his views are largely out of touch. The problem is us who try to read too much into the mind of a 93-year-old. He believes both in witchcraft and Christianity, so you may call them double standards, but to me, it's just inconsistencies of an old man. So that's that story there. And yes, there are still people, folks, that believe in both witchcraft and Christianity, especially in Africa.
Beyond the Darkness.
All right, before I go too deeply into Parashare, I had promised I would tell some of the experiences from England. I had a great time, and again, thank you for covering while I was gone, Tim. We had such an amazing time and such a great group of people, and I'm looking forward to going back in a few weeks with this even larger scale grouping of people. I'll have 45 people on this next trip. We only had 13 on the first one. But we got to experience the Jack the Ripper tour with the leading Ripper tour guide in London. It was amazing. And to see some of these places and these locations that still exist, and to hear these histories and the rich, beautiful locations that you're around, that was really fascinating to me. And I also really love the fact that we had amazing, like, supernatural weather. They were telling me that this just is not the type of weather. I mean, it looks like postcards and all these photographs I was posting. If you were following along on my Facebook and I was posting this stuff, beautiful blue skies, perfect temperature. We barely got any rain. I think we got a little rain on our last day when we went to visit Stonehenge, which was very powerful for me. I mean, that was probably one of the most important moments for me. I know that was something my mom always wanted to see. And to get the opportunity to go to Stonehenge and stand there among these ruins and just be there after having seen about it and read about it, watched it on all these TV shows and documentaries, to actually be there, it's just, I can't explain. It was very powerful. And I got emotional because I know mom wanted to be there and she never got to make it. I was wearing my necklace, which is a crucifix, and some of her ashes had been put into this crucifix. So I brought mom with me for this trip to England. She never got to take in life. So I brought her with me to kind of have that experience. And it was great overall, though. I mean, there was Chillingham Castle was just amazing to visit, and Castle Rising, and we stopped in Bath for an unannounced stop and just had a great time. And Anwick Castle, where they used it for a couple of the Harry Potter movies as Hogwarts. It was so cool to go see these historic and beautiful locations. So I recommend to people, if you're ever interested, come on out with us on some of these excursions and have a good time, because you will get an adventure of a lifetime, I promise you. So you can always check up with darknessevents.com. If you have the wherewithal, we still have a few spots available now for the September trip that's coming up in just a few weeks. So you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, or you can just go right to darknessevents.com and click on the banner for the England trip and sign up if you're interested. Let's get into some emails, though, from listeners. I know it's been a few weeks, and I know many of you have been willing and ready to share your stories. Here we go, Tim, starting with the first email. Hey, Dave and Timmy, I have a ghost story to tell you from a childhood memory. I was 4 or 5 years old. It was dusk, and I was in the kitchen. I looked out the screen door into the backyard where the swing set and my new slide were set up. I could see someone sitting at the top of my slide. I couldn't make out any features or whatever. It just looked all gray. Hey, I yelled out the back door, get off my slide. But there was no movement, no reaction. That's my slide. Get off my slide, I demanded. Still no movement. I went into the living room where my family was watching TV. Now, I'm number 6 of 8 kids, and they were all spread all over the room. So I announced to them all that someone was outside on my slide. Go away, they said. You're imagining things. Nobody's out there. I couldn't believe it. No one would come. I stomped back into the kitchen to look outside again. Whoever was on the slide was now gone. I wondered where they went, so I went outside and looked around the yard. But there was no one. I walked around the side of the house. No one was walking away. But then I looked up. There was a gray, human-shaped figure receding into the dusky sky. I was amazed as it just floated away. Then it reversed itself and started getting bigger and coming closer. I turned and I ran into the house. That's probably the scariest story ever. The haunted slide, and that comes from Scary Mary. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Mary. We appreciate that. Hi, Dave, and also Tim. I'm a huge fan of the show and have been since about 2008. I had the pleasure of meeting you at the Minnesota Opera event on The Shining last year, and before that, your presentation at Lake Harriet Community Church. And also met you, Tim, and Mally at your hosting of James Von Prague's gallery event. Also, congratulations on your engagement. You mentioned, I believe, a lovely fiance in a recent episode. I did, and today is her birthday, so thank you very much for that. Been meaning to write to you for Parashare, and here's my most recent doozy of a story. Text from the dead, an 80s blast from the past on a smartphone. I'll start at roughly the beginning, and excuse all the name-dropping in this email. In the 90s, I took classes from Echo Bodine on psychic development when she taught at the Lake Harriet Community Church. I didn't go very far then in developing my skills, in my humble opinion, but I've always kind of dabbled in such things. Fast forward to a couple of years ago, and on a whim, in hearing Michael Bodine talk about his ghost-busting class, I decided to sign on. While I didn't see ghosts, Michael's spirit friends and others that were tied to the house where the class was, in that very fun two-night class, I did sense things, though. What I learned there was how to close the spirits, or how close the spirits can be to us. Now, at Michael's class, I got reintroduced to the Bodines by learning through another student that I could, as a past student of Echo's, drop into her beginner's psychic development classes at the center in Minneapolis, and also go to her advanced psychic development classes taught by another instructor, Sandy. So, in Sandy's class, we practiced mediumship. And you give a name to the class of a deceased loved one, and they tell you things about that person as evidence and give you messages. This is what Echo teaches. Always ask for evidence or something that confirms the connection. My good friend Joan, who I met as a young adult in the 80s, and we were friends into the most of the 90s. Picture Peg Bundy. She died of cancer around 1996 or 97. So I asked in the class about her. Now, sidebar, I'm a little older than you and Timmy D, but totally relate to your college story and the era. The messages people got were fairly general, but one of the students said, She says to tell you she's been busy now, but will be getting back to you. Another student mentioned they saw her on a park bench. Among the handful of readings I got, I didn't think too much of their responses then. Now fast forward to this June of 2017, when I randomly pulled out a couple of cassette tapes I'd recorded in the 80s to listen for fun. Now, I'd had them in my car for the last several months, an older Volvo with a cassette player, with the intent to listen to them sometime and maybe pass them on to my fiancé's daughter, who has a cassette player in her car. So, on the bright, sunny morning as I'm driving from my house in Minneapolis to pick her up at the orthodontist in St. Louis Park, her dad was out of town and she didn't have her license yet, I pop in one of the cassettes. As I'm getting onto Crosstown West, I'm smiling to myself and listening to the tape, nearly laughing at an excerpt of another Joan, the late Joan Rivers, from her comedy album. Then, the theme from Rocky Horror Picture Show, Let's Do the Time Warp Again, comes on, and I remember my deceased friend Joan vividly, recalling that my classmate and what she said in Sandy's class, she'll get back to you. So, I'm thinking of my friend Joan driving down the bumper-to-bumper freeway and reminiscing. We'd gone to see Rocky Horror at the old Uptown movie theaters in the 80s. Then a Pet Shop Boys song, West End Girls, comes on, and I'm really thinking of Joan a lot because they were a favorite band of hers. And I put it out there. Hey, universe, give me a sign from Joan this week, please. Within a minute, my smartphone beeps with a text. As I'm driving in heavy traffic, I fumble in my first purse to retrieve it. And I see it's my fiancé's daughter with a text that read, What movie theater? I was confused and then noticed the text prior to that, which said, I'm at the movie theater. Huh? I thought the text was from my fiancé's daughter since I was on my way to pick her up. Then I assumed it was a prior text message between us from when I picked her up and a friend up downtown at the Orpheum Theater. Later, I figured out it was a text that had been sent that very morning from my phone while I was driving down the road, and the road was in and the phone was in my purse. I gave up texting while driving long ago and wouldn't dare venture, especially in heavy traffic. It took me a while to accept the fact that my phone emitted the text. The time and date stamp says it all. I'll send a picture if you'd like. It was through validating the text with my fiancé's daughter on the phone, and thinking the facts through on the chain of reactions of the event. Then I realized it was a text from my old friend Joan from the great beyond. Phones don't just send out texts by themselves. Nothing was in the draft folder. My shout out to the universe and to my old friend Joan in spirit produced it, I believe. I ran it by a local psychic and intuitive, and she said, yes, it was from her. My gut told me so, too. So my friend Joan connected to me in a fun way. And it totally fits that song that was on, Rocky Horror, the midnight showings, where they do the acting out of the parts in the movie theater. And she did it instantly in a modern way. And that's not the end of the story. Within the next day or two, I'm continuing to read Teresa Caputo's, the Long Island Medium's book, called Good Grief, on how the dead connect with us. She explains beautifully that they can encourage our soul's growth from beyond. They work with us and play with us, sometimes right alongside us. So, I kid you not, Dave, I got chills reading a passage in the book. And the passage said, so while you sit on a bench at the park, their soul might come along but play on the swings and slides. Souls don't jump into our bodies to feel what we do. No weird horror flick shenanigans here. But to use the park example, they can watch an event play out like a movie, and then, through your eyes, experience what you're seeing, feeling, thinking, and more. And that's from page 62 of Good Grief. To me, that was the perfect encapsulation of what I'd experienced driving down the freeway while listening to the old 80s blasts and connecting with my friend Joan. It was like she was there with me as I was driving, and I got my sign from the universe all right. I was never skeptical of phone calls from the dead, and one of your recent guests mentioned getting texts from the dead. Perhaps that was what planted it in me, and I was more open to it. Anyway, I have another story involving my phone and a Beyond answer. I seem to get it on after seeing one of my favorite celebs on TV, but that's another story, Dave. I also have a cool orb story for you, even though you don't believe in orbs. Thank you again for all you do, and have a great time in England. Sincerely, Marcia in Minneapolis. Well, thank you very much, Marcia. We'll look forward to hearing your next story. Hello, Tim and Dave. Oh, you're getting top billing again, Tim. I've been listening to your show since I heard you guys on Talk is Jericho. I've been a fan of UFOs, conspiracies, and paranormal for as long as I can remember. So this podcast was the perfect one for me. I wanted to share my soul ghost encounter with you. I'm from a small city just north of Louisville, Kentucky. I've been to Waverly Hills Sanitarium several times. Much to my disappointment, I am the one person who has not seen any paranormal activity there. Now, my ghost story and encounter happened one night when I was closing the guitar store I worked in from 2010 to 2012. This happened in about late 2011. I was putting away the daily sales information in the computer and counting down the cash drawer. The front of the store had windows across the length of the building. I looked up from the register and I see a solid white figure in the shape of an adult male go past the front of the store and down the sidewalk. And then it disappeared about 3/4 of the way across the store front. Now, I thought this was odd. I walked to the window and looked and didn't see anything or anyone outside. I asked a coworker if they saw anything, and they say they didn't. The next morning, I asked the workers in the business next door to us if they had seen anything like that. And they said they have not. I've not seen anything like that since. This did not leave me fearful. It left me a feeling of curiosity about the paranormal. Not the most exciting story, I know, but I figured I'd share it with you guys. Do with it what you will, and that comes from Michael. Well, thanks, Michael. No, it's interesting. I mean, as you said, it kind of comes in all shapes and sizes. So you get what you get, and you know, the little stories can be just as impactful and interesting as the big ones. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. Let's see what else we've got here. Hey, guys. I'm a new listener from the Midwest, live in the Hoosier State, born and raised. I came across your show via Twitter this last week and have been listening to older episodes. I gotta say, I love this show. Ever since I was a kid, I can remember paranormal encounters and reading about them. I'm a skeptic with some things, but not with spirits or ghosts. I got touched at Waverly Hills, have seen them there since I was 4, felt them, and have heard them. Our town has a lot of history and historic homes, lots of urban legends and ghost stories. If you're interested in reading about them, look up Hell's Gate, Brazil, it was at Indiana, Vigo County Historical Museum Hauntings, or simply Terre Haute in Hauntings. Now, my most recent encounter was 2015 when my husband and I moved into this Victorian mansion that was turned into apartments. It was a house that spoke to me. I was compelled to it, drawn to it. It had charm as it also was registered on the historic site. It had original woodwork, fireplaces, and the back had the original carriage house that was also built into apartments. Now, the carriage house had a spiral staircase and the old brick flooring. I'd always wanted to live in a Victorian, and this was my chance. We moved into this two-bedroom apartment on the lower level with a roommate. The apartment itself was gorgeous, tall ceilings with old rustic wooden French doors, windows that would open by pulling them open from the inside, and an old claw bathtub. The downside was the kitchen, extremely small. Only one person could fit in it at a time when you wanted to cook dinner. Now, me being the empath that I am, I knew right away before we got the key that it was haunted. I could just feel the energy, you know? I remembered when we got the keys, we all went over before moving day to check it out and decide who was going to get what room. One bedroom had these mirrored French doors, and it was really small, no lights. I felt that it was maybe a slave's room at one point in time, and the roommate decided she would take it. Our bedroom was basically a squared-shaped box with 3 windows. The weird thing I noticed was on the ceiling, there was an old water stain above us. I had informed our landlord of it, and he said he would cover it. The owner was strict on work being done because he didn't want to have to pay for the time. Basically, he was just letting the place go to hell. But the water stain caught my attention, and I remembered feeling something about it, but brushed it off. We never covered it. I wanted to paint the room, but felt like it wasn't the right thing to do. Anyway, we finally move in. The first night we're there, my husband and I slept in the living room. It was summer, and the AC was windows. We didn't have one in our bedroom, so we decided to sleep in the area that had one. The first night, I kept waking up feeling as though I was being watched. Within a week, things started to pick up. I was home by myself and relaxing in the bedroom, when all of a sudden, I heard this loud bang out of the blue. I jumped up to investigate. Right away, I noticed the toaster that was sitting on top of the fridge, in the middle, was on the floor. Again, I brushed this off as gravity doing its job, but knew that there was no reason for a toaster to fly off the fridge or the static feeling I got when I went in there. It just couldn't be explained. Later on, I had this thought to research the house. I became a bit obsessed with it, actually. A week or two later, my husband and I were again in our bedroom, laying down, taking a nap. I was half awake when I heard our bedroom door open and footsteps to follow. I had this feeling that I was being watched. Our bed was pointed near this hallway that led to the door. I looked over my shoulder towards the hallway and the door where the footsteps were heard and thought maybe it was our cat. But our cat was nowhere in sight. So I got up to see if it was him, because if it was, the door would be open quite a bit. To my surprise, the door was barely cracked open. And I'm getting chills just thinking about this. Naturally, I asked my husband if he heard it, and he said he did, but thought that it was the cat. So I decided then I needed to research. Part of me wanted to have someone investigate it, but I was so nervous at the thought because of the energy already seeming to pick up. Anyway, the house was built in the 1800s and had roughly about 100 past residents in it, from what I could gather. One name in particular caught my attention. It was a famous poet, Max Ehrman, who wrote Desiderata. Sorry, I'm not familiar with that one. Naturally, I became interested in this and did more research. He was well known, and so was his wife, Bertha Pratt King. He later died from an aneurysm after they married, and she founded a school. She also published all of his poems after his sudden death. They were only married 3 months before he died. Was it Max and Bertha I was feeling in our house? I believe so. Later on, I nicknamed the house Bertha. There was a quote I found by him at our library that stuck to me like a core, or stuck to me to the core. In it, it said, "Perhaps when I'm dead, some brows will come upon me in the libraries, and seeing that I was not altogether unworthy, will resurrect me from the dust of the forgotten." Are you getting chills yet? I ended up posting about him and Bertha on my Facebook. Well, a few months went by, and things were quiet for the most part. There was some tension between us and the roomie. Some things with the landlord were going on, but other than that, the normal side of it was pretty quiet. My cat, who is a character, would stare at the roomie's French doors all day, paralyzed, as if in a trance. The roomie claimed to have heard things outside her bedroom, like the window AC being messed with, but I took what she said with a grain of salt. One night in the fall, I was in the living room, watching TV on the couch. Nobody was up, just me and the cats. I started hearing this rattle sound. I looked towards her bedroom door, thinking she was getting up, and the hairs on my neck stood up. My cat was under the table and staring at the door. The next thing I know, I see her doors being pushed from the outside of where I was. They were being pushed repeatedly, like someone was trying to get into her room. I sat straight up and stared in shock. I started with surprise. My heart was racing. "Please stop." It did it again. I was about to flee, composed myself, and I stated it again. This time it stopped completely. I waited for my roomie to come out screaming, but nothing. She, to my surprise, would sleep through these events, but it was probably because She worked night shift and was in bed by 8 p.m. Is it possible she was just screwing with me? Well, probably, but I can't explain how it stopped when I asked it to. I wasn't yelling it across the room. I was stating it as though I was sitting across the table from someone having a conversation with them. I felt on the edge after that. My husband would go out of town for work and sometimes wouldn't come home till the next day, so I basically slept with our lights on. It's not that I was afraid of the dark. The dark doesn't bother me. But the ghosts did. As an empath, I'm sensitive to their energy. I constantly felt them. I constantly thought I was being watched or was about to be scared by one of them. Eventually, we did have a respect for one another. I ended up telling them I meant them no harm. If I asked to be left alone, I was. That following year, February 2016, I ended up losing one of my older brothers to diabetes. It nearly broke me. But somehow, in a weird way, I honestly feel the spirits, they came to comfort me during that time. We moved out that spring after another loss of a friend. Here's where it gets really interesting. I don't believe in coincidences. I just don't. I think we're all connected somehow, and things happen for a reason. During my research, I never once came across anything dark about the house. I researched it for 2 weeks. The day we moved out, my husband had to walk next door to this church and see if we could be able to park our U-Haul in their parking lot. He was greeted by the secretary, who randomly asked, "Are you moving out from next door?" He said yes. She stated, "You know, two women were murdered there. Their bodies were dumped in the river, and a man drowned one in the bathtub. He's at the prison." He was shocked. Sadly, he didn't get the names. He was too much in a hurry to care and usually blocks himself off. I was tempted to walk over and ask questions, but I didn't. Is it a coincidence that the day we move out, we find out it was a murder house? Or that there was this water stain in our bedroom from an upstairs apartment bathroom that, from what the landlord stated, magically had running water overflowing when the tenants were gone, and they had a leak? I don't know. I just know that place was awesome. It had stories to tell, and I feel honored to be a part of it. Well, thank you very much, Rachel. I mean, that's a fascinating, weird story. And to have had all that information and have it available to you, that is really cool. Thank you very much for sharing. Let me see what else we've got going here. A couple more stories before we wrap up. Hi, Dave and Tim. I thought I'd tell you about the dream visitation I just had this morning. First, a little background. Back in September of 2012, I lost one of my best friends, Scott. He died very unexpectedly and really out of nowhere. We, along with a few others, had all met while working at the local Walmart and had all become close friends, hanging out every weekend after work, playing video games, shooting pool, watching movies, etc. We all had the same interests, and I always remember it was like a really good time when we were all together. Of course, life took us all in different directions, and even though we didn't hang out every weekend like we used to, we would all stay in contact and get together when our schedules allowed. When he died, it was a shock to all of us. Now, fast forward to this morning. My dream started out as I arrived at a baseball, softball-type complex for a softball tournament. My team's first game didn't start till 6, but I had arrived close to an hour early, and of course, the field we were playing on was the farthest from the parking lot. I was the only one of my team there, so I took a seat in the bleachers to watch the current game going on. I decided to go through my bag and make sure that I had everything when I discovered I had left my glove at home. I was going to be pitching, so I kind of needed it. I quickly put things back like they were, zipped up the bag, and started back towards my car to go get it. I was hurrying as I passed another set of bleachers, when out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw someone I recognized. I stopped and turned around to see my friend Scott. I was shocked at first. He'd passed away years before. But there he was, in the custom tank top, goatee, his hair somewhat askew with a smile on his face. Everything just stopped as if we were the only two there. "Hey, Joe, how's it going?" he asked as he got down. "Oh, my God, Scott, how are you? What are you?" I stammered as we shook hands. I just thought I'd stop by and see how things are going, he answered. Good. How about you? I answered, still taken aback at seeing my friend once again. Not bad. You going to see the new Transformers movie? He asked. I'm not sure. The last one kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, I said. It was like we hadn't missed a beat. There we were, talking and chatting about all the things we used to. After a few minutes going back and forth, catching up, he said, hey, I wanted to tell you that it's all going to be all right, Joe. I'm okay, and things are going to be okay for you. I couldn't bear it anymore, and I had to hug him. You know, these other people can't see me, right? He joked as he hugged me back. I don't care. And I laughed, and we hugged. I clapped him on the back a couple of times as we parted, and he started to walk with me back to my car as the other people there stared at me like I was crazy, wondering what I was doing and who I was talking to. After a few yards, he said, well, I gotta go, but I wanted to let you know I was all right and that you're going to be fine too. It was good seeing you, I said, not wanting him to just leave quite yet. Same to you. Take care, buddy, he said. And with that, the dream ended, and I woke up with tears in my eyes. Not sad, not happy, but I'd say emotional. Still am as I write this. I'm glad he's okay and everything is good with him, but I still miss him at the same time. That's how my day has started. Lots of good memories in my head right now. In fact, I don't think I have a bad memory of him. I'll let you go for now. I hope you two have a great week, and I look forward to hearing more of your shows on this topic and others on Beyond the Darkness. Sincerely, Joe Berg. Joe, thank you very much. That is a very touching story. What an amazing opportunity to have to connect again with an old friend and have it be that detailed. So thank you very much. We really appreciate that. Last quick email. Hi, Dave. I'm a huge fan. You and Tim get me through my workday every day. Just wanted to mention in regards to the recent Mothman sightings that have been occurring in Chicago, I started looking into this a bit more. And it's interesting to note that in February of this year, about a month before these sightings started to occur, there was a meteor that fell nearby. They believe that it actually fell in Lake Michigan, which is interesting since all the sightings of this creature have been occurring on the east side of Chicago, which isn't far from Lake Michigan. And in fact, one of the sightings occurred on Lake Michigan. Coincidence? I think not. The theory of the Mothman being alien in origin and the theory of aliens and alien spacecraft being in the ocean and large bodies of water? I don't know. Seems like these things may be connected. Anyway, maybe I'll see you around sometime. I'm a member of the Twin Cities Paranormal Society, so I'm sure our paths will cross at some point. I hope, at least. Until then, keep it weird. Thanks, and that comes from Jennifer Jewett. Jennifer, thank you for writing in, and that is a very interesting aspect of the story as well. But thank you. Thank you all for being a part of our world. And remember, you only have a few days left. If you're still on the fence post about signing up for True Crime Tuesday, remember, whoever signs up until September 1st, all of you, from the beginning of time till September 1st, will be entered into a drawing. We'll be drawing three of you randomly, and you'll get a one-year subscription to True Crime Tuesday. How do you do it? Just go sign up for True Crime Tuesday. Never miss another minute in the best in true crime talk radio. Plus, you get Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals, some of the most fascinating true crime stories, and more. And you get that delivered to you four times a month. 90 to 120 minute brand new episodes every week. So please go sign up for it. And remember that if you sign up for it now, you're going to automatically be entered into the drawing. And once you start listening to the show, you get to listen to all of the past episodes. And if at any time you decide this isn't for you, you can always quit. You don't have to stay on month after month after month. You can just sign up for 1 month and give it a shot. So check it out. Go to darknessradio.com. Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner. And you can subscribe right now, only $5 a month, just $5 a month. That's just a buck and a quarter per episode for the best in true crime talk radio. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. Be safe, be kind, be loving. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the best in paranormal talk radio right here on Beyond the Darkness.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.